listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly also with us.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
We appreciate those of you joining the live program as well as those of you listening to the archives. Good to have you here. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. Now, tonight, the topic of our discussion is human rights. And so I'm going to wait to read the principles of belief until just a little bit later, because I want to kind of culminate with that. So I'll read that in a little bit. But, you know, obviously, one of the reasons for this program and the topic tonight is the issue of family separation for immigrants in the U.S. that are coming in and they're separating the children from the parents and so forth. And, of course, it's created a huge outrage in the U.S. and abroad, and and culminating up to today, when the current American president signed an order to stop it. Of course, that's also controversial, and some claim that he replaced one inhumane act with another, whereas now the children will not be separated, they'll be incarcerated with their parents in the same cage. But the point came up is human rights. Now, before we get too much into this topic, I need to kind of set the tone for it. We are a religion. And, metaphysical humanism is a religion. It's a religious organization. And as such, we don't really get into politics. We've never really gotten into that. We all have our political leanings. We all have our opinions and so on and so forth. That's not the issue. So tonight it's not about politics. It's about human rights. And the U.S. policy for separating children from their parents or immigrant parents is certainly not the only human rights violation that's going on this planet. Human rights violations are part and parcel to human existence and have been for millennia. But we want to get this out because it's a hot topic and we want to discuss it and talk about what human rights is. Now, before the program, Dr. Hunter, did a brilliant connecting of the dots between human rights and metaphysical humanism. Dr. Hunter, you want to restate what you told us? It's a good point.
We're humanists. That's what we are. And belonging to a metaphysical humanistic church, we believe in humanism. And our principles of belief state that. And behind humanism is the rights for all human beings. That's what we as an organization and individuals who belong to an organization, we live by that code, and that's what we share with the world, provided somebody's willing to listen. But that's essentially who I am. If I can just inject this, when it comes to matters of politics and where do I stand in the political scheme? Of course, I vote for the Green Party because I want them to know I have their support, even if I know they're not going to win. But am I a socialist? Well, no, I'm not a socialist. And not in that sense, except that I'm a humanist. And there's really no political party that represents a humanist. Humanism is a philosophy. It's a belief system. So we're kind of working with the lesser of all the bad stuff when it comes to politics, because there's this huge gap between who has what they need and others who suffer. And the humanist in me is always weeping. And I mean that sincerely. I weep for people who suffer because there's no need for anyone on this planet to suffer. Today I went for a walk with a friend of mine to the local park, and as we were walking, there's a car pulled over with the back hatch open, and there's all these cats in you know, their kennels and cages. And bless her heart, the woman has been homeless for over a year and refuses to give up her pets because she can't find a place that'll accept pets. And where I live, it's really bad. Landlords are really bad about not accepting pets. And this woman, and so, you know, the lovely cat stood there, and we talked to her for a long time, and I looked at her in the face. I said, I am so sorry you have to go through this. And, you know, she's optimistic. She said, well, we're still working on it. And, you know, my daughter, and she's 63 years old, living out of her vehicle so she can be with her cats. Now,
wow.
To me, this is a human rights issue. Everyone is entitled to shelter, food, and safety. And, you know, I know that the... You know, kind of what instigated the show tonight is certain events that have been taking place. And yes, they've always taken place. But it is against, you know, the certain crimes against humanity. It's like this woman who can't find a place because too many landlords here don't. And there's a big movement to try to get them to, you know, take people with pets. They're also denying people with children. And this is, again, that big division between people who have and can demand and, you know, impose on others, and people who have nothing. And yet they have something, they have jobs, they have, but they can't get what they need, which is just shelter. So this, a humanist in me gets really angry. I got to say that. I get fired up because I get fired up because I don't want to cry right there because
yeah.
It hurts me.
Yeah,
and
with you.
And events over the past little while, it's hurtful to the humanist, because when you're a humanist and that's every fiber of your being goes that way, you see crimes against humanity, it hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, what we stand for, and belonging to metaphysical humanism as a church and as an organization, you know, it's good to know we're not alone. We actually have a bond. We're here together. We share in this vision of what we know the world can be, but it's what's in our hearts that we're connected. So that's my 2 cents worth in here.
Great. Good points. All right. So let's start with this topic of human rights. What exactly are human rights? You know, it's an interesting question. We kind of all know what human rights are, but we probably have never sat down and really thought about it. You know, what exactly is a human right? But these human rights are basically things that all human beings deserve that are self-evident. You don't need to explain, you know, and just to give you a list of various human rights. I'm going to read the 30 Human Rights Declaration from the United Nations because it's a starting point. I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to read all the commentary, but you can look them up. United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. First one is, we are born free and equal. 2, don't discriminate. 3, the right to life. 4, no slavery. 5, no torture. 6, you have rights no matter where you go. 7, we're all equal before the law. 8, your human rights are protected by law, or should be. 9, no unfair detainment. 10, the right to trial. 11, we're always innocent until proven guilty. 12, the right to privacy. 13, freedom to move within your country, especially because of the political boundaries. 14, the right to seek a safe place to live. 15, right to nationality. Basically, the right to belong to a country. 16, marriage and family. You have the right to grow up, marry, and have a family. Number 17, the right to own things. 18, freedom of thought. 19, freedom of expression. 20, the right to public assembly. 21, the right to democracy. 22, social security. 23, workers' rights. 24, the right to play. That means to relax and recreate. 25, food and shelter for all. 26, the right to education. 27, copyright to protect one's intellectual property and artistic creations. 28, a free and fair world. 29, responsibility. We have a duty to other people. We should protect their rights and freedoms as well as what it means. And 30, no one can take away your human rights. So that's just a starting point of what it means to have human rights. And so one of the big things that a lot of people fail to see, which is disheartening, honestly, because I've read a lot of posts and stuff on Facebook and so forth about people, and of course the biggest outcry has been against the separation of children from their families for these, quote, immigrants. But I've also seen some supporters, and it's disheartening because these people that we call immigrants or aliens, and it doesn't really matter what country you're in, they're all, anybody's an alien to another country, right? An immigrant to another country. They're not immigrants. They're not aliens. They're human beings. They're looking for a better life. And so one of the things that just really chaps my behind is when these ultra-patriotic people, you can't come to my country. We don't want you in our country, you know. Well, it's our planet. It's our world. And these people are looking for a better life. And I would love to know what some of these hardcore people would do if they were placed in the same position as some of these other people trying to seek a better life for themselves or their family. That's been the plight of human beings for millennia. Everybody wants to seek a better life, and there's nothing wrong with it. That is a human right, an inalienable human right. And so these people are not, quote, immigrants or whatever. They're human beings. Now, I can hear it already. People, well, what about the criminals that are coming over? Oh, come on, really? You know, yes, are there criminals? Sure. But the vast majority are not. The vast majority just want a better life. And they're being oppressed in their own country. So where are they going to? The United States. Oh, what was that about the U.S.? Send me all your weak, you're tired, you're poor. I know that's a quote on the Statue of Liberty. But basically, that's what America was for, is to immigrate to have a better life, to have the American dream, quote unquote, and all that stuff. So we've said, you know, over the last couple hundred years, I mean, that's what we've been. America's been a place for people to immigrate to and have a better life. We should be proud of that, but yet that's no longer the case because we want to keep them out. And I understand you've got to have some control about borders and all this stuff. What I don't understand is why we have a planet that's got all these imaginary invisible lines that separate different countries, because, you know, everybody wants to be a political leader. Everybody wants to rule their own country. Everybody wants to be a king, right? And I always liken it to just different corners of the sandbox, all these little boys fighting over their little corner of the sandbox. You know what? People who are evolved and enlightened see the stupidity in that. We have one planet. We are one planet. We're one race. They're not different races. We all came from the same ancestry. We all have the same destiny. We're all people. And that's an important, crucial thing to remember. These are people. They're human beings. They're not objects. You know, it's so easy to sit behind a computer, oh yeah, those people do blah, 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 you know, or they shouldn't be crossing the border. They shouldn't do this. They shouldn't do that. They're human beings. They want a better life, just like we all do. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's a human right. All right, I'm going to take a breath. Any comments from Dr. Hunter or Michael?
Well, I just looked up, the world is my country, all men are my brethren.
Yeah, Thomas Paine.
Yeah, one of my favorites,
Thomas
too.
Thomas Paine. And it's that's just what reminded me. I know you've used it a lot, Dr. Kelly, and but it's, and by the way, if anybody hasn't read that book, it's really good.
Age of Reason. Look it up. You can get it online in a PDF for free.
Yeah, it's fabulous. I would only like to add that the key word here, and a footnote to what you've discussed, Dr. Kelly, is these are people seeking asylum.
Yeah.
They are leaving one bad situation looking for a better situation. In this particular case, this is Honduras, Guatemala, and another. They had traveled 2,000 miles, many of them on foot, looking for refuge. These are not immigrants. They are asylum seekers. And to me, in my mind, that's a huge difference. It's taking the politics out of it. When somebody seeks asylum, you know, somebody was telling me today they're helping another young girl who's being stalked. And I said, well, you're saving her. You've handled it well. You're the bridge for her to get help, but you're ensuring that she gets the right kind of help. That somebody came to her seeking asylum. Like, get that through our heads, that there is a difference between somebody just dropping in, eating all your food, and saying, oh, geez, this is great, used all your toilet paper, and off they went. You know, I mean, this is somebody who's asking for help. And the humanist in us cannot say no. And however we have boundaries and however we have our general rules of conduct, we are humanists first, and people are asking for help. How we decipher that is wisdom. You know, we apply some wisdom. Somebody knocks on the door and says, hey, you know, I'm really hungry. Yeah, you just said that to the last 10 houses. you know, collected $100. Because,
right.
You know, you kind of clue into the wisdom of it. But that's, to me, it's the humanist first, dealing with situations where people are asking for care and protection, period, end of story.
And let me just build off of that point, because I have a story to share that was sent to me by one of my students that would fit in here. And yes, we have boundaries. We help people. That's what we do. We're humanists. We're metaphysical humanists. We're not secular humanists, you understand. There's a difference. Secular humanism basically is materialistic in nature, meaning that when you die, you're dead. There's nothing afterlife. There's nothing beyond this. This is it, and it's pretty dismal if you ask me. We're metaphysical humanists. We have an open mind, even though our mind is not so open, our brains fall out. So we strive to remain objective, but we are still open to possibilities. So that's the difference. We're metaphysical humanists. And so we try to help people, and we'll always help people. But there are limits to it. There's conditions. You know, it's like the old unconditional love myth, right? There is no such thing as unconditional love. A lot of people want to say, yeah, God has unconditional love. BS. If he had unconditional love, then he wouldn't have kicked Satan out of heaven, so to speak, if you believe in all that. The point is that there is no such thing as unconditional love. It you know, it has conditions. There has to be limits. For example, I will help somebody all day long to help themselves, but I will not help somebody if it's going to enable them in an unacceptable behavior. I'm not going to help somebody if all they're going to do is turn around and rob their neighbor or something like that. I'm not going to help an alcoholic if they won't help themselves. So there's, you know, you never do something for another person that they could and should do for themselves. The reason is that if by doing so, you're assuming responsibility for that adult, which is a violation of their human rights. And secondly, you're depriving them of the opportunity to learn a life lesson. So we never do things for other people they could and should do for themselves. Doesn't mean you can't do a nice. Doesn't mean you can't be helpful and help people out when they need it and do those things. Okay, so just want to get that straight. So with that being said, this story, this experience was sent in by a student, and it kind of makes the point. It's, you know, I always try to read the pay it forward stories when we get them. So, and this, that's what was sent in under the within that framework, that topic of paying it forward. So it says, he first talks about how he'd like to listen live, but it's just the wrong time zone for him. He's in a different country. He says, the story I would like to tell is the following. A few weeks ago, I met an old friend and colleague whilst I was shopping. He looked quite untidy and unwell. He told me that he had split from his wife and was now living on the streets. Before this, he had been a well-respected, hard-working colleague of mine. He said he was hungry and was not getting help. I really felt upset and sorry for him and gave him 20 pounds. I told him to get some breakfast and then go to the authorities for help. I shook hands with him and left feeling quite good about myself. However, when I left the superstore and made my way back to my car, I saw him on the street corner passing over money to another guy who gave him some small packages. Drugs? He asks. I feel that there is a lesson to be learned regarding how one tries to help others. I feel that I did more harm than good in this instance. Now, and then he asks, any views on this? Could I have done things differently? And that's the end of his story. So let me comment on that. First of all, you know, I feel like it did more harm than good in this instance. Well, you didn't know. You can't tell the future. You didn't know. I mean, you thought you knew this guy, but, you know, drugs and addiction changes people. It literally changes them. They devolve, literally devolve. They become less aware, not more aware. Their energy signature goes very unhealthy. They become completely different people, animalistic in many ways. So you followed your heart. And you helped this guy that you had once known and was well respected and a colleague. And that is a good on you. That was exactly what you should have done. Next time it will be different, right? Because I've always said I will give somebody the benefit of the doubt until I no longer have a reason to do so. Well, you had no reason not to give him the benefit of the doubt. And you did that. And you did what you were supposed to do. And you paid it forward. What he did with it was now on him. It was his decision. And now that you have this knowledge, you know that, sorry, you lost my trust. You betrayed that trust, and I'm not going to enable you. I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt anymore. So you couldn't have done anything differently. You shouldn't have done anything differently, but now you know, and the next time you will have to do it differently because now you're making a new decision based on new information. Any comments? Michael, we haven't heard from you. Anything you want to offer?
Well, you know, I think a lot of really good things have been said tonight and a lot of great points have been made. And, you know, when I think about human rights, it's really about the fact of, I mean, how important life itself is. And why is life important? It's because life has awareness. It has cognitive ability. It's conscious. And especially sentient life. And we can empathize. We understand that these human beings, through no fault of their own, were born into circumstance, especially when Dr. Hunter referenced those seeking asylum. It should always be the goal of a better human society to try to take in those in need. You had referenced the poem on the Statue of Liberty earlier, but it's because we understand that they are, you know, living things, living beings, sentient living beings that are on this world trying to figure it out the same as us, mm-hmm. that are trying to build lives the same as us, and we see a little bit of ourselves in them too, and we want to help. That's good. That's one of the best things about humanity. And we need to not turn away from those impulses, not shy away out of fear, out of a potential threat, but we need to embrace those impulses because that is the best of humanity. And it's frankly, yep. You know, it's not just enough for us to be here on this planet. We have to deserve it. We have to earn it. And we have to continue to build on it. And we go a long way towards getting there when we are more open.
Leave the woodpile higher than you found it.
Exactly. And we respect human rights. And we respect each other's humanity, even if it doesn't look exactly the same as ours.
Right. Excellent. Dr. Hunter, anything you want to add?
Well, just to add in light of, you know, your reading your letter in the question about, you know, did I do the wrong thing? Did I do the right thing? Two things come to mind. And first of all, when we give something to somebody else, it's not for us to judge what they do with it. Mm-hmm. That's the first. The other is learning the wisdom to find alternative ways other than pulling cash out of our pocket, because cash tends to kind of lighten the burden somehow.
Yeah.
When it's, you know, it's an old saying about people who do well do good by sharing cash, but people who do good t- tend to think they shouldn't do well. But you can do good and do well. You know, so it's interesting that alternatives to this is to carry around some gift cards for food in, you know, with you, or take somebody in and buy them a meal, you know. But, you know, just because, man, those little gift cards that you get all the time, any kind of coffee shop, any kind of grocery store, and here's $20, go to the grocery store. You know, so there's other ways besides giving cash that we can give forward. Now, cash might be what somebody needs, but you'll know that after conversation, and know that when you invest yourself into understanding the circumstance. And honestly, if somebody is suffering with a drug addiction and they need drugs, I'm giving them their drugs. Because it's their pain, and that's their deal. I'm not going to enable, I'm not going to give, but I've been around this a lot in my life, and my mother, when she would call for money for booze and drugs, I didn't give it to her, but I said, I'd be happy to feed you. And I had to draw my own line raising my own family. So, I mean, I understand this very well. And when people are broken, when people are in pain, whether it's through addiction, whether it's through some other circumstance of war zones, you know, I think what we all need to keep in mind that people are suffering because other people are doing well. And I guess that's the point I want to get across. People don't suffer without reason. And very often there's mental issues or emotional issues. They're broken for some reason. There's a reason for that. So companies go in and take over resources of all these other lands and countries and leave the people destitute. You know, something I say frequently to people, if we know who the First Nations people are, and we know that third world nations are first world nations left with crap, then who are the second world nations?
Yeah.
I've got to think about that for a minute. So we're all intertwined and responsible in some way. Maybe I didn't directly do damage, but I am indirectly and, you know, entangled in the circumstances of the earth at this moment. So there's a wisdom. There's a wisdom to navigating, and all of us are navigating that without, you know, without question. But again, it's to remember the humanist in us and start to get a little bit creative and to start finding solutions that is a better win-win, so that we can continue to improve. Because what we're seeing is these really ugly cycles perpetuating to come around. You know, Germany 1940, or, you know, there's lots of talk, lots of things that we see coming around, and we're not learning the lesson. But the more that people continue to find solutions, use our creativity, use our imagination, and find ways to interact with each other that, you know, it's like today seeing this woman, just validating her for a moment that somebody hears her. You know, and to say, I'm really sorry, you know, you're going through this. That can lift somebody up for a week. You know that? Or she'll remember that. Like, there are people out there who get it. And maybe it's just that little tiny kindness to remember that we're all in this together. We all are.
Good points.
My soapbox.
Yep. I know. I've been on it myself. All right. Let's talk about what we can do, okay? Because remember, this program is supposed to be empowering. And that's what we want it to be. So we've drawn attention to the human rights violations that are going on. Well, currently the big one is in the U.S., but they're going on all over the planet in all kinds of countries. We just maybe don't hear about them as much. But they're there, and they've been going on for millennia. We've got as a species, we need to outgrow this barbaric, savage behavior that so many people still possess. That's why enlightenment and education are crucial. Education is the big thing, and tolerance and so forth. So what can we do about it? Well, we can continue to pay it forward. And a lot of this I'm going to be preaching to the choir from the people that listen to this program. I get it, but I want it out there on the table. So continue to pay it forward in a healthy, kind, generous way. Help people. Remember, everybody is a human being. You may not agree with them. You may not resonate with them. You may not identify with them, but they're still human beings. And so we want to help whenever we can. And we want to help whenever we can. That's all. I guess that sums it up as much as good as anything. So help people. Continue to do that. When things come up like what's been happening in the U.S. with these children being separated from their parents, the best approach is peaceful resistance, nonviolent resistance. Now, I don't fancy metaphysical humanists as pacifists. I'm not a pacifist. I'm not just going to lay down and let them do whatever they want. But there are nonviolent methods of resisting: demonstrations, signing petitions, making your voice heard, you know, on social media and so forth. So we can resist in a nonviolent way. And frankly, that method has had the most success over the decades. So we want to not be violent. We don't want to get into all the, you know, the, what do you call it, the militia and that kind of stuff, you know, where we're going to take to arms to start defending stuff. You know, that's not where we're at. We want to remember that we as a species are growing, we're evolving, and we don't want to forget that. We want to continue the peaceful evolution of the species, and that means the best way you can do that is by your own example. Be that person. Be that humane humanist, that metaphysical humanist who helps other people resist in nonviolent ways. And at this point, I'm going to read our own Human Rights Declaration, known as our Nine Principles of Belief. And as I read this, pay close attention to how some of these, several of these, directly relate to human rights. And I also want to mention that if you'd like a card pulled from the Inner Oracle card deck, put your name in the chat room and we'll write those down and get to those in a few minutes. So here are our abbreviated Nine Principles of Belief, a.k.a. our Human Rights Declaration. Number one, the overriding number one top principle to keep in mind is do no harm, do right. Everything can be summed up in that. Everything can be reduced down to that. Do no harm, do right. What if the U.S. had kept that in mind? Do you think we'd even be talking about these human rights violations going on? No. What if every country donned on that principle, that healthy, enlightened, evolved principle? Do no harm, do right. If the whole world would just adopt that, we wouldn't be in the same world anymore. We'd have a beautiful, peaceful, coexisting world if we all remembered that. Do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. And that's what we're talking about tonight, human social problems. And human rights are part of that. We need to respect those human rights. Number four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. That is just who we are. We're all put on this planet, Earth. That's where we're at. We're on planet Earth. And then the greedy dudes, the power-hungry dudes, had to go and divide it up and, you know, hey, I want this corner of the sandbox. Hey, I want this country, and I want to be a dictator, you know, and it's ridiculous. It's honestly ridiculous. We live on one planet. We're all the same. We're all people. We all came from the same place. We're all going to the same place. We're one race. There are no different races. There's just one race, the human race. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. People who don't respect human rights don't honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. And again, self-complete people respect other people. They don't try to one-up them. They don't try to compete with them in an unhealthy way. They respect other people. Number 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And that's what's lacking on this planet, is education. We need to educate ourselves and others, and we do that by our own example, because we can have a powerful impact on those around us within our sphere of influence. And if everybody donned on that attitude of having leading a good example, doing no harm, doing right, and so forth, then all the different spheres of influence would overlap, and it would permeate the entire world. Number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And that's what we're talking about. As we evolve, as everyone evolves, we coexist. We evolve, and peace ensues. Those are our principles of belief. So to sum up this whole thing, those of you who are outraged with the human rights abuses that are going on in the U.S., you are right, and you are correct. And there is no support. There is no valid support for what's going on. And there's a lot of people who try to support it. Baloney. They're human rights violations. Just like somebody trying to support the practice of killing people over in the Middle Eastern countries because they, dishonored the family for some reason. And they're usually stupid reasons. There's no support for human rights violations. None whatsoever. And I don't want to hear any arguments. I don't want to hear it was the Democrats that did it, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear any of that because it doesn't matter. What matters is that they're human rights violations and they should be stopped now. And hopefully they will. So do your best. Live your life. Pay it forward. Help other people. And as Gandhi's, be the good you want to see in the world. Be that solution. And if we could just get enough other people doing that, then these problems will work themselves out. Not soon enough, but in due time, they'll work themselves out. Any final comments from Michael?
No, I think that was wonderfully said, and I think that the 9 principles of belief perfectly detail what human rights really is, especially to a metaphysical humanist.
Great.
Very well said.
Thanks, Dr. Hunter. Any concluding comments on this?
No, but I find it really interesting that Fran pulled boundaries, number 6 for the group tonight, out of our oracle cards.
Well, go ahead and read it then.
Well, it's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you're overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? And I think even if we flip that, because there's equals and opposites of all things, I think it's a wonderful card for you to pick for us tonight, Fran. That if somebody else's boundaries are being violated, we're all responsible. See, it's the do no harm, do right. Sometimes the right thing is to stand up and to say, that's not acceptable. And I'm going to lay my life on the line for that because that's who I am. That's what I am. So.
Good.
All right.
Who's next on the...
Well, maybe you'd like to pull one for Taz, Michael.
Did Fran want a card? I couldn't.
Oh, yeah, but Taz was first. I was just segueing into
Then we'll get to Fran.
Fran.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, I'd be, of course, happy to pull a card for Taz. And I actually pulled one of my favorites. It's wild card number 1, Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's one of the constants of the universe. But paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths land common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Good.
All right. So, however Taz relates to that. Now, Fran, I pulled self-mastery for you, number 7. I love this. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, which gives inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. That's a good one.
I don't think we've pulled that card in a long time.
No, we haven't, but that's for Fran tonight. That actually is for all of us, but Fran, however that resonates with you. I think we have Cherie up next, Michael.
Cherie? And for Cherie / Sherry, I have pulled number 24, Truth. A powerful card.
Good one.
There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
All right.
Good one. Another good one. Now, Jeannie has pulled a card for the group, and how appropriate, Jeannie. Number 31, Sacred Obligations.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read that now. Heads up, everybody. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change. Evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. Now, of course, as metaphysical humanists, that's at the core of our being. And sometimes we all just need a reminder that this is our duty to be involved.
Human rights are a sacred obligation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Well, Darren popped into the chat. Michael, maybe you'd like to pick a card for Darren, please.
Oh, I'd be more than happy to. And Darren, I pulled another wild card. Wild card number 6, Entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place. And
it's called getting grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I especially love that the wording on that last part, when one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And again, that comes back to human rights. Are we going to be part of the solution?
Exactly. So we appreciate that. There have been a lot of great points talked out tonight and discussed tonight, I should say. And, you know, to be a metaphysical humanist is to support human rights. If you don't support human rights or you try to defend what's going on against human rights, that is not consistent with metaphysical humanism. And so, that's something to just remember. You know, we have to strive and reach for a higher standard than what we may see in the world around us. And I know that there's a ton of you out there who share that same philosophy. A ton of you who want to help other people. And so we don't want to get bogged down or too discouraged with this, with the world and some of the things that are going on it. We want to focus on the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive. And as Ziegler said, and keep that light shining, because other people do see it, yet other people will see it, and it will make a difference. So never, ever give up. Never give in. Always hold to a higher standard of enlightenment, of self-awareness, of awareness of the plight of others around you, and pay it forward. That's the work we do. We appreciate everybody's kind attention tonight. Listen, those listening to the archive as well. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. Appreciate that always. Now, just a quick announcement. In July, we're not going to have any live programs. July 4th, there will be no program. It's American holiday. Mike will be gone, and we're just going to not have a program that night. But the remainder of the month, Michael may do some replays of selected previous episodes. But basically, for the month of July, we won't have a live program. We'll pick it up in August. So just wanted to announce that.
So we will see you next week, though.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah, we will see you next week. So we've got to wrap it up. Again, thanks to everybody. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.